What does it mean to honor God with our sacrifices, with our hearts, with our lives? What does the truth of Scripture have to tell us about how we worship and how we think about God? It tells us that we're called to honor and to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. But all too often today, we're simply going through the motions. This week on the Light of the Word Radio, Pastor Jim opens up the first chapter of the book of Malachi to answer these questions. Reformation is still needed today, and our prayer is that God would begin that great work with the transformation of our hearts. Let's listen to Pastor Jim.
So if you want to turn to Malachi chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, beginning in the 6th verse. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food on the altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals and sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to the setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. When we think of the Reformation, the first thing that comes to most people's mind is Martin Luther, right? Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses. And we think of the picture that has been painted many times in many ways of him nailing that 95 thesis to the door at the Wittenberg Church. Really, that 95 thesis was 95 grievances with the church. When we think of the Reformation, we think of it starting with him. But that would be like thinking of the American Revolution as having started with that first shot that was heard around the world. That's not where it started, is it? Nor is that day where the Reformation started. Just a little background. God had been moving men in different areas of Europe. He had been moving them to his word. He had been causing them to desire to make much of his name. Notice as we go through this, what was happening in Malachi. They had stopped making much of God. They had continued to worship, or at least call something worship. But he didn't call it that. One of the prayers that we pray often before a time of worship in here is that God would receive our worship, that he would receive us. And the reason being, he is not under obligation to receive anything from us, from our mouths, from our hands, because we are here. We cannot obligate God. And when we come with our minds and our hearts filled with everything else in the world, we come the same way that these priests did, allowing the polluted offering to come to the table. This 95 thesis, this 95 grievances, Martin Luther was not trying to start a new line of faith that we now call the Protestants. That's what they were doing. They were protesting the direction of the church. The church being the Roman Catholic Church. Now, we have to be careful. I fall into this trap so often. I will just call it the Catholic Church. But that is an incorrect way of putting it. It is the Roman Catholic Church. And the Reformers, they never called it Catholic, really. They mostly just called it the Roman Church. Because the Catholic Church is the United Church, the whole church, all the believers. So they would just call it the Roman Church. The Roman Church had gone away from the Word of God. The Roman Church had come to a place where it was all about man. And not all men, just the top men. Think about this. How much would you want to go to a church service where you came in, you were going to sit for 3 or 4 hours, and you were going to hear chanting, you were going to hear God's word read, you were going to hear some expository on that word, but it was all going to be in Latin and you don't understand Latin. Wouldn't that be an exciting 3 or 4 hours? And wouldn't you walk away knowing more about God and being able to worship him more? This is what they were facing within the church, and there's a reason for it. There was a reason that it had come to this. One of the things that came out of the Protestant Reformation, one of the things, there's several, but one is sola gratia, grace alone. The Roman church believed that it was grace plus works that allowed you to be saved. And if your works did not exceed your sins, this isn't how they would put it, but this is how I see it, then you got purgatory until you overcame that. Can you show that to me in the Bible? You can't show it to me because it's not there. When we start adding to what it takes to belong to God, we have moved completely away from him. So this one pillar, this one sole, that's one of the reasons. But there was a real lack within the church of honor to God. Now, go into some of those churches from that time. They're beautiful, aren't they? Have you ever been into any of those churches from the 16th century? I've been in some in Europe. They're amazing. Even the Roman Catholic churches that are 100 years old in this nation, or maybe some of them that are 50 years old, you go in and they're beautiful, aren't they? There is a certain amount of reverence from walking in, isn't there? Just like the people seem to think that it was okay that there would be a reverence in sacrificing, even if it was blemished. Something that always concerns me, and I hear it often, is people say, well, God knows my heart. I want to tell them every time, yeah, but he loves you anyway if you're his. Because our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are wicked. When we say, well, he knows that we're doing it out of the right heart. Well, he knows the reason that we're doing anything is for our own purposes. Because our hearts are wicked. So God asks, if I'm a father, if I'm a master, then where is my honor? Where is my respect? Where is my fear? We go back into the Old Testament and we go into the Proverbs, and it tells us where wisdom begins, doesn't it? Where does it begin? With the fear of the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is no fear of the Lord today. There is no fear of the Lord. Now, we cannot, we should not expect there to be fear of God in the lost, should we? How are they going to have fear of God if they do not know who he is? Because to have fear of him is to know him. And people do not know to fear God who are outside of the church. My problem comes, and God's issue here in Malachi, and the issue with the Reformation, with the Roman church, is that within the church, there is no fear of God. The fear of God has left the building, and they will do anything inside of these so-called worship services to make much of God. They will do anything to make much of themselves. One day I was down paying the water bill, and the lady that used to work in the water department wanted to come up here and do a special. I said, okay, what kind of special do you do? I dance. I said, you dance? She said, yes, I do interpretive dance. I said, oh, she didn't come to a special. People within churches have no fear of God. They have no respect for God. I think of watching when our kids were little. If Gracie likes a movie, we're going to watch it a bunch. Sound of Music, I love Sound of Music. And so often on a Sunday night after church, I would come through the living room and there'd be Gracie watching Sound of Music, and I'd be stuck and I'd sit down and watch it with her. But she also liked a movie called Aladdin. And in that movie, Aladdin, there's Robin Williams' voice attached to this genie, right? And this genie grants wishes, great things. He can do all sorts of different magical things, right? To be desired, to be schemed after. Isn't that what the bad guy, what is his name? Jafar or something? Isn't that why he schemed to get the lamp so that he could have the genie? Okay, Jim, why are you talking about Walt Disney? Because that's what people are after from God. I've actually had people tell me, God just doesn't work for me. Anyone else ever heard someone say that? God just doesn't work for me. I've tried it. Let me rephrase it. Let me paraphrase it for them. I rubbed that lamp called the Bible, and it never, ever produced. That's what they're saying. Why were the people in Malachi's time still even bringing offerings? Because they didn't want to let go of any benefit that might come. But they also didn't want to sacrifice anything. So they would give their lame and their sick. They would give the blind, those things taken by violence. You know, we have an understanding of Jesus as the fulfillment of the law, right? We understand the law of the tithe. We understand the Ten Commandments. And we understand that we are no longer under the penalty that comes from breaking those commandments. So does that give us the freedom to just go break them as we see fit? It doesn't, does it? If we love God, then we want to be like Jesus. And how was Jesus? Perfect in the law. So we want to live and grow in that direction. But I think that to honor God, we give a tithe. And that tithe is what? What is tithe? 10%? You know, more than your 10% of money. We can't give a tithe of us. We cannot give 10% of who we are to God. 10% of our time. 10% of our thought. 10% of our life. Some people feel like they have over-tithed by spending an hour, okay, here, an hour and a half, in church. Well, they've done their duty for a week, and if they do two or three of those, they have it a week off, because they've given. This is what was going on. The Roman church was so much about man that it was doing all sorts of things, and God's name was being smeared, and the people were not hearing about God. Now, think about it. When Jesus came, remember how he went and he found the most educated, the most wealthy, the most well-known people to be his followers? Do you remember him doing that? You don't remember that. That's probably because that's not what happened. Remember, I don't remember who it was, just somebody in the last couple of days was telling me how they loved the comment, aren't these fishermen? Aren't these just ordinary fishermen? Jesus came and he brought the truth. He brought the way, the life to the ordinary man. So ordinary were those who he brought it to as well that it even encompassed the Gentiles. Jesus wiped out the elitist idea of the Jews, didn't he? Was Jesus a Jew? Yes. He was not ashamed of the fact that he was a Jew. He was ashamed of the Jews who put themselves above everybody else. How sad is it to walk into a church in this rich nation that rejects somebody who doesn't look like them? You know, there's a number of stories over the years of a new pastor coming into a church, and he will dress up like a homeless person and show up for church service to see the heart of the church. I've never heard one of those stories end well. You know, they always seem to be shunned. Or there's the story about the Baptist church, that the man slips into the back just before church starts, and the preacher's preaching, and the man starts to get excited, and he jumps up and he says, "Amen, amen," and is waving his arms, and everybody looks at him, gives him a dirty look. He sits back down. Pretty soon the preacher's preaching, and he gets excited again, and he jumps up and amens. So one of the ushers walk over to him and said, "Sir, we need you to keep it down." He said, "I can't help it. I got the Holy Spirit." He said, "Well, you didn't get it here, so please keep it down." As funny as that story is, it's sad as well, isn't it? Because though it may not be quite that drastic, that's what we see in the church that is to honor and glorify God. It's all about us. It's all about us. That was the Roman Catholic Church. It was all about them. And those in leadership in the Roman Church in the 16th century were wealthy. They were wealthy. They had fleeced the sheep, so to speak. We have some that are fleecing the sheep today, don't we? I can't find the video anymore, but I have a web page that I go to sometimes. I haven't been there in a while, but it's called A Little Leaven, or the Museum of Idolatry. It's another name for that site. And I watched a video on there one time. There was a platform kind of like this at a church, and the people were bringing their money up, and they were throwing it up on the steps. And there was a man preacher and a woman preacher, and they were dancing on that money, saying, "Oh, we're fleecing the sheep today," just publicly. Not everybody's that blatant, but all around us, they're fleecing the sheep. The church in the 16th century had grown to such great power. It was involved in all things government. It was involved to the point that popes contended with princes and kings. That's how powerful the church had gotten to. Now, don't let me mislead you. I do believe the church should be powerful. But that's not the power he's talking about, is it? That's the same power that we see in the New Testament, in the Gospels, as Jesus was walking the church, even in captivity, in Roman captivity. They had a certain amount of power, right? I mean, think about Jesus' crucifixion. Was Pilate excited to crucify Jesus? He was looking for every possible way that he could to get out of it. But because of the power of the chief priests, the Sadducees, those religious leaders, the Pharisees, because of their power, even this ruler was afraid to cross them when they were under his rule. And so Pilate just tries to wash his hands of it. The church should have power, but it should have the power of the Holy Spirit, shouldn't it? It should have the power of God to salvation, because it preaches and teaches the Word. The Word. This is the downfall that tripped up everything that caused the Reformation. We've already said that the Word was being taught in Latin only. And the Word was not translated into the common languages. In fact, they were so against the Word being translated so that the common person could read it and understand it that they killed those who tried to translate it. People went to a burning death at the stake just because they were taking God's Word and translating it into a common language. But these weren't just people. These were people that God raised up. I am in awe of the power of God on these people that would be tied to a stake, wood put around them, fire lit, and they're singing hymns. They're singing praises to God. What power, what might of God is that? I'm amazed. I am in awe of people in these third world countries who are persecuted and given an opportunity to denounce Jesus Christ. And they refuse, preferring to go to their death first. Meanwhile, in America, we don't go to church. We don't go to worship. We don't serve God, giving Him a tithe of who we are. If it's too rainy, if there's a game on that you want to watch, if, and the list goes on and on, of reasons. Whatever circumstances were going on in your life, you weren't able to get to church, you weren't able to hear it, and you weren't able to read it. Well, in today's world, that really shouldn't happen too often. But when it does, I would hope that there is a hunger in your heart because it's something missing that you need. As the Roman church was standing in the way of the people, worshiping, obeying, and following after God, and knowing Christ, as they stood in the way, the reformers said, "We need to open this up. People need to know the truth." And so Martin Luther's thesis was really trying to reform the church. That's why it's called Reformation. The church was the Roman church, the Roman Catholic church. And he wanted to reform it back to the Word of God, back to what it was intended to be. And they wanted to kill him for it. They wanted to kill him. Now, I say Martin Luther wanted to do that. That wasn't the idea of all the reformers. Some of the reformers believed that the Roman church had gone so far that there was no desire to repent and serve God, and that they needed to just start back up with what the scripture said. Isn't that kind of what it looked like upon Jesus' arrival and the start of the church? The Jews had gone so far. Those leadership of the Jews, okay? I need to be careful not to lump everybody in there. But there were many in the leadership, the Pharisees and all these other groups of leadership, that had put themselves so high that even if they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, even if they believed he was God, they still wanted to destroy him to keep their ways. And upon Jesus' death, upon the ripping of the veil, upon it being finished and completed, it was a fresh start, wasn't it? There was now the way, the Christians, who took in all that Old Testament that pointed to him and then followed his teachings through all of it. I think sometimes today that the church has gone so far that the church refuses to repent. I talk to people and I can show them in God's word truth. They don't desire that. They want to keep a hold of the shirt tails of that faith, and they want to live in the world. And I know you see it because it's all around us. What this is profaning God's name. This is profaning his name. This is polluting the offering. Because what is the offering? What is the sacrifice? What does Paul tell us? He says, present what? Yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice. I truly believe with all my heart that there's a lot of people who would appreciate and who would love to hear the truth. But the evil one has spread so much seed that is bad that these people don't know what the truth is. The evil one, in spreading that seed, has taken this and distorted it so that when people go back here to find the truth, they hear the claims of the evil one and think, oh, well, that's what it means. Never in the history of the world were we to decide what God's word means to us. It has always been, what does God's word mean to him? That was a fight of the Reformation. That was a fight. What was the author's original intention? The author being God of Scripture. Just last week, I was sharing Scripture with somebody, and they told me, they said, well, Pastor Jim, you know this is 2020, right? Did God's word change because of the century change? Did God's word change because we have moved further and further away from creation, or further and further away from Jesus Christ? It hasn't. What he expects from us transcends the culture. But we are so influenced by the culture. Well, if we preach that stuff, what are people going to think? Well, those who are called by him are going to think, oh, I need that. I like that. I better check that to make sure it's right, but I like that. Those who are not called by him are going to say, this guy is crazy. Why would I listen to him? And it's that way for pulpits all across the country. And there are people who come in and they hear truth and they say, I want that. Why do they want it? Because it is repulsive to the natural man. Why do they want that? Why do they want to hear true preaching that comes out of the Word of God that does not bring man's ideas to change God's Word? Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within them and draws them. The Roman Catholic Church became so self-absorbed, they didn't care about people going to hell. To make money, to build a cathedral, but really just to make money, they began to sell indulgences. They were selling the opportunity to get time out of purgatory for your sins. In other words, they were selling to you the opportunity to sin with no punishment, no regret. Man wants to cheat on his wife. Here, that indulgence costs this much. Go cheat. It's okay. A man wants to steal. Here, here's an indulgence. But they weren't getting enough out of those people who they were reaching with these indulgences. So they went a step further with the indulgences. And they said, you know, your grandfather, your grandmother is in purgatory paying for sin that you can release by buying this indulgence. Now tell me, if you believed the church and the church told you that you could help your ancestor, someone you cared about, you can help them get to heaven and not have to pay punishment, would you sell everything you had to help them if you believed that? They didn't care about sending people to hell. They cared about money. They did not care about God's word. They did not care about his name. You fall in line or face the consequences. They brought in relics. How many bones are in the human body? 206. You know, I don't know how many there were, but I think Peter had more than 206 bones because his bones were everywhere. His bones were everywhere. This was a relic that the church could get that helped them in their journey. Where is the honor to God in this? Where is the fear of God? Verse 14 of our text says, "Cursed be the cheat." And he goes on to say, "Who has a male in his flock and vows it, yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished." But he says this, "For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations." There is no time in history that he is not the great king. There is no time in history that he is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What there is times in history where man has wandered so far that they don't know that. And he says, "I am great." Do you know that he is great? That statement that he is great, that statement that he is the Father and deserves honor, that statement that he is the Master and deserves fear, pushed the Reformation. And it should push you and I as believers to surrender ourselves and all that we are. I try my very best never to let this church be about me. I do. People will want to tell me, "Oh, well, you do this and this." God does that. So the Reformers, so Martin Luther, were ready to go to their death for the Word of God. They were ready to live for it and to die for it. Friends, let's live for and die for the Word of God, for his name's sake. Lord, as we bow our heads, we lift up to you this message. I pray you are honored and glorified in this. And that as we dig deeper into the Reformation, as we look at specific issues and answers, oh Lord, may it draw our hearts closer to you. May we know the truth. The truth is you. The truth is Jesus Christ. And may the truth, may you set us free from this world. To you be the glory, Father. In Christ Jesus' holy name, amen.
What a wonderful thing to have a God who is worthy, not only of praise and honor, but also of fear. Our God is indeed worthy of the surrender of all that we are and all that we have. He is worthy of our love and devotion, and he is worthy, as Paul said, of the loss of all things. Oh, beloved, the truth of God cannot be altered and remain true. But praise be to God, he will defend his word and raise up men who will stand for that truth, regardless of the cost. We want to thank you for joining us today. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. Or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we will send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and the hearing of his word.